Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are excited because Steve Black is here. He's the president of the Hastings Pickleball Association. He has many more titles, but that's what we're going to use today because we are going to talk pickleball and talk about what a rage it is, and it really shows no signs of slowing down. How have you been?
I've been well. I've been healthy. Well, everything's been working out well.
Well, I'm so glad because I got to tell you, pickleball, you got to be on top of that if you're the president because it seems like that is a growing sport.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of new people playing lessons. We do little clinics and things like that. Our community play. So yeah, we've been busy with a variety of things this year.
How old of a sport is it? I mean, it goes back much farther, I know, than
it goes back to the 50s.
Okay.
1950.
So it's, what's the history?
60, 70 years old. So it was originated in the state of Washington. A couple was looking for things to do on an island right off the coast of Washington. They had played badminton, so they had a badminton court. So they said, we want to play something more, has more rallies with a ball kind of a thing. So they took a piece of plywood, made some paddles. They took a wiffle ball, as we used to know it when we were kids, and started playing on a court the size of a badminton, but they lowered the net, so it was more like tennis. So that they incorporated a bounce into it. So they just started doing that in the 50s, and it just slowly caught on. You know, it didn't really catch the wave until probably 2000, 2010.
Oh,
it really
okay.
started to pick up in the southern United States, retirees.
So down in Florida is what you're saying?
Yep. Okay. And it was primarily a sport for a little bit older people that had played tennis. You know, the
Not
knees
as much
weren't
running.
Cooperating right. So it kind of was a transitionary kind of sport.
Okay.
And so it took off that way, and it was primarily that way for, you know, 10 years, 15 years until 2020. When COVID hit, and then everybody wanted to be outside, not in large groups, and that's where it really took off, because people could play without really being close to each other, but they could still be active, do something, be social, and it really got big then, and then the wave kind of went north, and it kind of came up by us.
So when was the first time you even knew about pickleball?
I probably knew about pickleball about 2010 or so, when my neighbor came back, that was retired from Arizona, and said he was playing this sport called pickleball, and didn't have an idea what it was, so we did a little research and saw, oh, it's okay, it's kind of like a platform tennis.
Yep.
I played a lot of tennis. I played racquetball, so I had some racket sports background, and it looked like it was interesting, but I didn't play for 5 years. I mean, I just knew about it, and they would go play in Edina. It was about as close as you could come to courts in town. The lines were painted on the tennis courts at roadside, but the nets are a different height. You chase the ball all over. It really wasn't the ideal situation.
What was it about pickleball that you loved right off the bat?
Well, I was a tennis player and a racquetball player, and so I had knee problems.
Yeah.
And so it was a sport that I could play and have fun and use my racket sports background. Mm-hmm. And it was a very social game. It was fun. Met a lot of new people. The format of pickleball is a little bit different because when you'd go play tennis or racquetball, you'd try to find a partner and then you'd go find a court. In pickleball, it's a little bit different. They have a common time that people just show up on your own, all by yourself, and then you just join into the group that's there.
Let's flesh that out a little bit more. How does that work?
Yep. We call it community open play in Hastings.
Okay.
And it's from 7 to 11, 7 days a week. And people just show up when they want in that time frame. And there's what's called a paddle rack system. There's a rack that you put your paddle in, and you put them in groups of four.
Like a queue, kind of?
Yeah,
kind of
like that. Yep.
Okay.
And you physically put your paddle in there, and then when a court opens up and there's four paddles, you four go play on that court. And you don't know who it is necessarily, or you might want to play with four people, so you might put your four paddles together. You know, so if you just show up by yourself and you're ready to play, you just put your paddle in the rack. The next four people go play. You play a game. After every game, you come off, and then four more people go off.
You play just one game, and then you go off.
Yep.
And how long is a game, Steve?
In Hastings, we play rally scoring, which a game is typically 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay.
And then you come off the court. If there's nobody waiting, you can stay on the court. If there's nobody in the rack system waiting for the next court to show up, you can stay and just continue to play. And so a game doesn't really last that long, so that in the old days when we only had two or three courts and there was a lot of people waiting, 12 minutes, you were rotating in and out. Now we have the luxury of eight courts. And so you don't wait hardly at all and you're back out playing. As the time goes on, people start to get social and they start hanging around and they just talk and they forget about playing. So in the beginning, everybody's playing. The hour and a half, 2 hour wears on. People are more social and they're hanging out, just catching up on things, having a good laugh.
So you mentioned a game. Is that a match, or what does a match look like?
Sure. There are two different things. In a league play or a tournament play, you would play a match, which is typically 2 out of 3 games.
Okay.
Somebody has to win 2 out of 3.
Okay.
But in this open play, you just play one game. We play rally scoring to 15. There's another type of scoring that's called traditional side-out scoring in pickleball, and that's the most common scoring system, and that's to 11 points. And so you'd play one game, and you're done, come out, and then the next group would go in. But when we play a regimented tournament or leagues, we play a match so that you would play 2 out of 3. That would be a little different situation.
So is that what you did for Rivertown Days?
Yes, that's what we do for Hastings League. That's what we do for Rivertown Days, or when we have any organized competitive event where there's brackets and you move on and things like that, we'll play typically a match.
Which is 2 out of 3 games.
Right.
So how does it score?
Sure. In rally scoring, it's a little bit like volleyball in that you score every time somebody wins a point.
Okay.
So you don't have to be serving to score. And so my team wins, our team scores a point. If your team wins, you get to serve, and your team also scores a point. Okay, so that's why the games go relatively quick. It's a game to 15, so really it's 29 rallies. 15 to 14 kind of a
so
game.
Most,
or if you win by two,
sure,
it can be 16 to 14. But in side-out traditional pickleball scoring, you only can score when you serve. So my team could serve, your team would win the rally, it would still be 0-0. We could go back 0-0 for 20 minutes, and neither one of us would score a point if you weren't serving when you scored.
I see.
You know, so that's why we do rallies, so we can kind of move the game along,
sure,
move people off, and get new people back on.
Is that a hard transition then when you actually do tournament play?
It's a transition. I wouldn't call it hard, but it is
okay.
A transition, because there's a little strategy that goes with it also, that when you only score when you serve, you can be a little more aggressive on your serve, because all you're losing is the serve. You're not losing points. But in rally scoring,
yes,
you're losing the serve and you lose a point.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I get that.
So there's a little bit of a strategy that's involved with that.
Yeah,
yep.
Interesting. Yep. Are you surprised at how popular pickleball has become?
Not really. I ran racket clubs back in the 70s
Tell
when racquetball was
coming.
I didn't
know that.
Yeah, so that's what was my job I did after college. I ran racket clubs,
okay,
and racquetball, and that was a heyday. It gained in popularity and just took off.
It did, and then what happened?
Well, you could only play indoors, so you had to have a facility to play at. It was expensive. Those kinds of things came into play, whereas tennis, pickleball, you could play outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So we play outdoors. It's virtually a free sport other than a paddle and tennis shoes.
For
Everybody's
sure.
usually got shorts and a t-shirt. So it's a relatively inexpensive sport to get into. It's relatively easy to play and have fun at. That's the other thing that's critical about it. Tennis, you kind of have to have a technique with tennis, and you have to have some knowledge. You've got to be able to cover a lot of territory. Pickleball, not so much, because it's almost exclusively played as doubles. So it's my team, two people against another two team in a much smaller area. So you
not
can keep the rally going much
sure.
longer, and you don't chase the ball around too much. So you're playing most of the time rather than chasing a ball. And the other part of it is the format that we talked about earlier, show up and play. That's really unique to the sport of pickleball. It's very social. Some people have suggested we make more noise playing the people than the ball or any other aspect of it, because people are laughing, they're yelling at each other, they're having a good time.
Well, you know, that is fun to hear, because I have a feeling you probably were competitive back in the day. I'm a competitive player
sure.
as well. And I don't know what I would feel like if I had a doubles partner that was kind of lame.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that happens. Yep. You have a doubles partner that might not be up to your expectations.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you're probably that doubles partner sometimes too.
For sure.
You play with somebody that's better and like, oh my gosh, I've got to play so well just to make sure I don't embarrass myself.
How do you deal with that piece?
Well, what you do if you're the better pickleball player, you don't try to score points. You work on your game. You try to place the ball where you want to. You don't try to hit winners. You don't try to get a game over real quick. You try to work on an aspect of your game.
Okay.
And you make sure that your partner takes some of those shots too. You don't hog the shots. You don't poach and jump in front of them.
So
and
all of a sudden you have to be less competitive is what you're saying.
Yep. Most people are pretty good about just lowering their game level, expectations, having fun. If the person on the other side of you might not be up to your skill level, you got to remember you were there at one time. You weren't the best player. It's very competitive. When you get four people of similar skills together,
yes,
the game level raises and they still have fun, but they're working hard.
Is it super fun to watch how people have really gained in their talent playing this game?
Yeah, and we said that at Rivertown Days Tournament this year. This was our second year that we've had the annual Rivertown Days Tournament. And people that were in the upper division last year dropped down a division because play has gotten so good, the quality of play. And they did okay dropping down compared to last year where they did pretty well in an upper division. And so many of us have mentioned it. It was even mentioned on a couple Facebook posts. The quality of play this year was so much better than it was last year.
Isn't that something? Yeah. So people are just crazy for the sport.
Yeah, and the other thing that's happening is young people are coming and playing the game.
Yes.
They're athletic, they're fast, their reflexes are so good. They're raising the level of the game from
a
game that was kind of developed for older people to be social and have fun. They're taking it to the next level and they're making the game much more quick. Their coordination, their ability to cover the court is so much better than the seniors. And so if you want to play with them, you've got to raise your level of the game.
How fun.
Yeah, so it's really was fun to see that.
Well, and I love to hear that it really is a sport for all ages. Do you ever see this being a sport in high school sports?
It's very possible. I mean, the junior high tennis courts are all lined off for pickleball, so I know they're teaching pickleball at middle school, and they have for quite a while. Talking to Becky Hartung, she's confirmed that. They are teaching it at the senior high. They're elective phys ed. So, yes, it's definitely that kind of a court. The problem is having access for all the schools to have facilities. It'd be a fall, spring sport. It'd be an outdoor sport as opposed to an indoor sport.
Right.
So having the facilities is probably one of the things that's holding people back. And you don't want to take a tennis court and convert it to a pickleball court temporarily because the nets are a different size.
Right.
There's different things like that that would a purist tennis player doesn't want a pickleball player kind of goofing up their courts a little bit.
And vice versa.
And vice versa, yeah.
So, Steve, you were involved in the whole getting more pickleball courts for the city, and they certainly have done a great job to pivot what we had at
roadside
courts. Tell us about that process.
Sure. During COVID, again, we met in a person's driveway because we couldn't be together. So we met in a person's driveway and said, we've got so many players playing, we've got to get some designated courts. And so we met and said, how do we do this? Three or four of us stepped up. Ron Toppin, like I mentioned, he was another key person that stepped up. And we said, let's talk to the city and see what we need to do. So we met with the city. They're all for it, but there is a funding issue. And then also roadside tennis courts have been around since the 1930s. There's a little discrepancy as to who owns the land. And we're so close to Highway 55. It's kind of a tricky situation.
You don't want to rock the boat is what you're saying.
Yeah, and there was a little issue with regards to MnDOT, you know, what we could do there.
Mm-hmm.
So what they finally decided to do is they left the fences up, so they didn't really go outside of the area that was already tennis courts, and then they took all the blacktop out, went down 4 feet, put in a whole new subsurface so that it drained properly. The courts were flat. They aren't going to sink and crack and raise and lower as we have freezing and thawing, as Minnesota does. Yep. So they had to come up with a pretty good budget to do that, and they said, we'll do that, Pickleball Association, if you take care of the rest. And we said, well, what's the rest? Well, anything else you want to do, that'll come at your dime. And we said, we'll do that. We'll partner with you. And they've been a fabulous partner. And we've had a lot of successes with them ever since.
Well, it sounds like you've been a fabulous partner with them as well. It's been a win-win.
Yep, absolutely. And the city recreation department, the community, they love seeing the young people out there. What are young kids going to do? Well, they've taken on the game and they really own the courts in the evening. Before we had good lights, they would park outside in the parking lot with their car lights on in the evening, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and they would put their lights onto the court so they could play. Now the city took all our old quartz lights out and they put all brand new LED lights in, and they're fabulous.
Wow.
Yeah. So again, the partnership, they saw the need was there and they responded.
So let's talk about the black shields, or what are they called? The wind barriers.
Windscreens.
Okay. I so miss being able to see you as I drive by.
Right. Right. And we as pickleball players don't miss seeing you.
Oh.
Okay. So you're driving by. You're
that's kind of harsh, Steve.
Honking your horn. You're waving at us.
Yeah. You
there's
didn't like
movement
that?
Behind. We didn't
oh,
like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that was one of it. The other thing is the wind funnels down Highway 55.
Yeah.
Just like it does down the river.
Sure.
You're a boat person. You know that.
Sure.
And so that wind. So it eliminates that wind. And so wind with a wiffle ball has a very
for sure, because it's not even as
impact.
Yeah, like not like a tennis
correct.
Ball.
Correct. Yeah. And so we put those windscreens around basically to help with distraction, to minimize the wind, and then also there's a little noise that a pickleball makes. So it kind of softens the noise to the neighborhood. So there's kind of a three-way there. The one thing that we've noticed, though, for Rivertown Days Tournament, we took the screens up on the north side.
I saw that, yep. Yes.
And it still provides plenty of protection from the wind. So I would say unanimously, the players have said, hey, let's leave the windscreen up on that north
nice.
Side.
Okay.
And let's let a little wind flow, a little flow go through there. And so that's what we plan to do.
So if we want to get a gander at you, we go north.
You go on the north side and take a look, yep. And you'll see who's all playing. Yeah.
Steve, how many people would you say are involved in your league?
In the leagues, which are run by the city of Hastings, there's probably about 70 or 80 people in the
leagues.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yeah. It's people that you wouldn't necessarily think were going to play competitively in leagues.
So
it's
great.
Real interesting to go down and see who the people are. Husband and wives playing together, fathers and son, moms and daughters. It's really fun to see the generational kind of play that's going on. And they're out having fun. They might get beat. Doesn't matter. They're out spending some time together.
For sure.
You know, that's a big part of it, too. Yep.
Wow. Well, it certainly is such a great sport. And we're so excited about the fact that the Hastings Pickleball Association is up and running. You told me you're now a nonprofit.
Yes, yes. So we've gone through the process of becoming a nonprofit, and that's been helpful for raising some money because you may not know because you can't see in there, but we just put new picnic tables inside with
I don't
big
know,
umbrellas.
You put a barrier.
Right.
When I.
Yep. We put benches in there so you can sit down, so there's a real nice area inside to relax. When the sun's beating down on us, we've got a nice area, so we spent several thousand dollars in that. We also partnered with the Tennis Association, and we just have put a new shed on property, and that way we can store our tournament assets, things that we use for maintenance on the courts, our squeegees, all those kinds of things. So we've just done that too. So it's been helpful to be a nonprofit because we've been able to go to the community who has responded and helped us with some funding so we could do those kinds of things. Tennis Association, same kind of thing. They partnered with us so that we could share that shed, and it's worked out well. The other thing is it's enabled us to kind of have a platform to use the community investment fund that the city has provided, and that's been a real helpful way to gain a few dollars to enable us to do some of the things that we're doing.
Well, it certainly is fun to see how this has really taken off. And again, if people would like to come out, do they just bring their paddle and come in this open play?
They can do that, but it's highly recommended that you've played before, you know the rules. When you step on the court, it's not a teaching moment.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, it's a playing time. But if you want to learn the game, there's lessons through community ed. I know the Y will start a program in the fall, so there's lessons available. The other thing is go online, YouTube, pickleball. There's thousands of really good videos on how to play the game, different aspects of it.
Strategies.
Strategies, techniques, all those kinds of things. What to do, what not to do. Yep. So there's a lot of opportunity to learn just by sitting at home and looking at your YouTube a little bit. But the biggest thing is get out and hit the ball around.
For sure.
Just get out and hit the
keep
ball
moving.
Around. Yep.
We got to keep
have
moving.
Fun. It's great for any age. Like we said, it's a multi-generational kind of thing. Right after open pickleball this morning, a family showed up, grandma, son, and grandkids. All three generations
so
were
awesome.
There. And they were, you know, grandma and the son were teaching the kids how to play. And the kids were 9, 10 years old, and they just catch on. You just tell them what to do, and they go do it.
For sure.
Yep.
So great to see you. Steve Black, he is the president of the Hastings Pickleball Association. And do stop in and check them out. If you look on the north side of the roadside courts, you'll be able to see what's going on. Great to see you. Thank you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.